Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something, well, frankly, a bit counterintuitive in software delivery. You know, lots of companies try to make things safer by deploying less often, maybe monthly, maybe even quarterly releases.
Trying to reduce the risk.
Exactly. But here's the kicker doing that. It actually, ironically, increases the risk.
It really does.
You end up with these isolated feature factories, teams build stuff, move on, and then bang, once a quarter, it all gets bundled together.
And the deployments become these massive hours-long events.
Right. Verification takes ages, and then weeks later, bam, new bugs pop up.
Yeah.
Integration problems, weird use cases nobody thought of, race conditions.
Yeah, and then it's weeks of scrambling with hot fixes, right? Trying to patch things up after the fact.
Totally. And even when you bring in deployment automation, sometimes that just pushes the problem earlier, like before code even gets merged.
It's fascinating because the core idea from, well, pretty much everyone, DevOps, continuous delivery, agile, even old school stuff like the goal, it's simple.
Keep it small, right?
Exactly. Reduce your batch size, limit your work in progress, and get those smaller changes out the door more often. And that's really our mission for this deep dive. We're going to explore this really powerful framework called TPS.
TPS. Okay, break that down.
Sure. It stands for Trunk-Based Development, Progressive Rollouts, and Feature Toggles. And look, this isn't just about grabbing some new tools off the shelf. It's a fundamental change in how you introduce work and deliver it through the pipeline.
A mindset shift.
Absolutely. TPS helps teams really nail continuous delivery by making them truly user-focused. It ensures all kinds of changes, features, fixes, config updates, whatever, get to users safely, quickly, and sustainably.
Okay, so we're going to unpack why maybe some current ways of working fall short and how TPF offers like actual real-world answers that companies are using now.
Yeah, expect some aha moments, hopefully.
And maybe a few horror stories that might hit a little close to home for some listeners. All right, let's dig in. Let's start with some core problems and see how TPF tackles them. First one. Just the basic risk of building new features. I mean, it's stark, isn't it? Building anything new is inherently risky. There was that Microsoft research.
Oh, yeah, the really famous one.
Right. Two-thirds of the features they built delivered zero value, or even negative value. Think about that.
That's huge.
Building the wrong thing is actually worse than building nothing at all, because you've sunk all that time, all that money, for nothing, or worse.
We've definitely seen versions of this. Take our AWS ECS feature at Octopus Deploy. Small team, months of work research, design, build, and currently. Only about 2% of instances actually use an ECS target, even though maybe 20% of our users deployed AWS in general.
Wow, so months of effort for 2% uptake.
Exactly. It just screams, you know, you need faster feedback. You need to be able to pivot much earlier. Trying to change course after months is so much harder than after, like, a few days or weeks.
Okay, so how does TPF help there?
Well, two parts, really. First, trunk-based development. It pushes you to make small, incremental changes. Tiny steps.
Right, not giant leaps.
Exactly. And second, feature toggles. These let you test incomplete stuff, maybe just with internal staff, in production.
Ah, so you get feedback super early.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. Much faster feedback, verify your assumptions as you go, and course correct early. You don't wait months to find out you built the wrong thing.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about something that drives developers crazy, merge hell, when multiple people are working on different things?
Yes. The classic bottleneck.
Why does that happen so often, and why do the common solutions sometimes backfire?
Well, it goes back to that theory of constraints, you know, from the goal. The developer instinct is, okay, I'll isolate my work, long feature branch, I won't step on anyone's toes.
Seems logical. Initially.
It seems productive, but you're just pushing all the integration pain to the very end, merging into the main branch, that becomes the bottleneck.
Right.
And making these huge batches of changes doesn't help, it actually makes that bottleneck worse. Reviews are a nightmare, integration is chaos.
Yeah.
All that time you thought you saved by working in isolation, poof, gone. Spent just trying to resolve dozens, maybe hundreds of conflicts.
Oh, I remember this pain. I was on a team, maybe 5-8 devs, long-lived branches. Merge hell was like our daily reality.
Sounds familiar.
We'd often demo new stuff from someone's local machine because main just wasn't stable enough to deploy.
Oh.
We'd sometimes go weeks, maybe a month or two, before we even realized two features totally conflicted. If we got hot fixes or performance tweaks that were constantly blocked.
Always waiting for the feature branches to land.
Yeah. We even had merge freezes. before deployments.
Yeah.
Like, stop merging features just so we could cram in a few critical fixes. Mm. It was messy.
A total mess.
But trunk-based development, you're saying, that tackles this head-on.
It does. It encourages really short-lived branches. Think hours, maybe a couple of days max. Changes get merged back into the main branch frequently, multiple times a day, ideally. So merge conflicts are way smaller, way less frequent.
And when they happen?
Developers fix them almost immediately while the code is still fresh in their minds. The code base stays continuously integrated, much healthier. And that flows right into the next problem, doesn't it? These super complex branching strategies people invent to try and stop deployments being blocked?
Yes. The hotfix branch, the release branch, the develop branch.
Right. Separate channels in the deployment tool, maybe a hotfix channel and a main channel. But the fascinating thing is, these are often just treating the symptom, not the actual disease.
Exactly. They just seem to create more questions. Like, okay, which branch goes to the hotfix channel? How do we even know what code is really in production now? When do we merge the fix back? How?
Mm-hmm.
It never gets to the root cause. Why was main undeployable in the first place? And why did we merge so much stuff at once that it needs weeks of testing?
It's like pouring gasoline on a fire, really. Adds complexity. Solves nothing fundamental.
So how does TPF cut through that?
It's much simpler, much more elegant. With trunk-based development, those small, frequent merges mean the main branch is basically always deployable. It's always green.
Always ready to go.
Yes. And then feature toggles hide any work in progress. So a new feature that's half done, it doesn't block a critical bug fix or a performance improvement.
So the important stuff just flows through.
Exactly. Bug fixes go to production the moment they're ready. They're not stuck waiting for some big feature release. Completely unblocked.
Okay, another big one. Coupling deployment and release. You said the number one cause of critical bugs is actually releasing stuff to users.
Yeah, surprisingly. Not the deployment itself, but when users start hitting the new code.
Why is that?
It's the edge cases.
Yeah.
Conflicts between features, users doing things you just didn't anticipate. And here's the critical bit. Once users are using that new feature, rolling back gets incredibly dangerous.
Because of data.
Data corruption is a huge risk. UI weirdness. Plus, the hit to your reputation. It can turn a bug into a proper catastrophe.
Okay, but what about canary deployments? Don't they help de-risk features?
That's a really common misconception. Canary deployments are great for de-risking the deployment process. You know, zero downtime, making sure basic smirk tests pass.
Right.
But here's the thing. Unless you're Google or Facebook scale, with tens of thousands of users hitting it per hour, routing to, say, 1% or 5% of traffic, that's no guarantee you'll find those tricky edge cases or conflicts.
So the bugs might still be lurking.
They might not show up for days, maybe even weeks, until more users hit that specific code path.
This totally reminds me of a place I worked.
Yeah.
Even after we automated deployments, our big headache was internal users hitting the app during our off-hours deployment window.
They're just catching up on work users.
Exactly. Despite all the emails, we even made this offline page. Users called it that headbanger page because, well, you know.
Okay.
But that only fixed the deployment disruption. As soon as we took the offline page down to verify the new stuff, bam! Users jumped right in, started using the new features instantly. So, any chance of rollback? Gone. Users had seen it, used it, data was already changed. If we found a critical bug then, we had to fix it forward, immediately. Rolling back meant losing data or corrupting it. No choice.
And that's where TPF offers such a clean separation. It decouples deployment from release.
Wow.
Okay, progressive rollouts let you get the new version deployed and fully verified in production, but crucially, users are still on the old stable version. No impact yet.
So it's live, but hidden.
Exactly. Then, feature toggles are your control switch. You decide when the new stuff gets revealed and to whom. Maybe just internal folks first, then a small group, then everyone.
So you can effectively roll back the feature just by flipping the toggle off.
Precisely. No risky application rollback needed, and it also makes things like database changes much safer. You can use patterns like expand and contract to evolve the schema incrementally, making sure it's always backward compatible.
Got it. Okay, final problem area you mentioned, this idea of late quality gates. Relying on keeping problems after deployment.
Yeah, it's tempting, right? This idea that, oh, we'll just monitor the logs, and if errors spike, we'll automatically roll back.
Sounds simple.
It sounds simple, but the truth is it actually increases risk. You're putting immense pressure on downstream processes, logging, monitoring, alerting to catch everything, and those processes, they can fail too.
And why doesn't that catch-it-late approach work reliably?
Well, first, not every critical error even gets logged properly. Second, you just can't predict every possible issue. Third, that small percentage of users in a canary release. They won't hit all the code paths during that short deployment window.
Right.
And fourth, as we said, that window for a safe rollback is tiny, often less than an hour. Once real users start interacting in volume, the risk of data loss from a rollback quickly becomes worse than the bug itself.
That's that exponential cost, right? Finding bugs later costs way more.
Yeah.
I remember this sauce module. 6 months of dev work.
Okay.
Then 2 months of QA. On day one, QA found over 100 bugs.
Oh, not a good sign.
Not great. And yet, still, a critical bug one leaking data between customers made it to production.
Oh, that's bad.
It was discovered like 8 hours after deployment. Way too late for a rollback.
Yeah.
The team had to scramble, fix it, and redeploy in like 45 minutes. Massive pressure.
Exactly. TPF flips this completely. It's about building integrated quality in from the start at every single step.
Also.
Well, trunk-based development means small changes, which are inherently easier to test and integrate. Fewer surprises.
Nope.
Progressive rollouts let you verify everything in the real production environment before users are affected. You shake out infrastructure issues, config problems.
Before it matters to the user.
Right. And feature toggles allow a controlled group of users to find those tricky functional issues and give feedback early. You catch problems much, much sooner. It's proactive prevention, not just reactive cleanup.
Okay, so TPF isn't just fixing isolated problems. It sounds like it changes the whole way you approach the SDLC.
It really does. It helps you evolve beyond some common pitfalls.
Like what?
Well, think about Scrum. Often it falls into this multiple waterfall trap.
Multiple waterfall.
Yeah, development happens kind of linearly within the sprint. Then there's this mad rush of testing at the very end. It leads to stress, frantic work, burnout. Testing can't really start until dev says, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. I worked at a place that went from, like, decades of six-month waterfall cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Straight into three-week multiple waterfall scrum.
How'd that go?
Honestly. Developers felt like failures constantly. The pressure to cram everything into those arbitrary 3 weeks was immense. If you didn't finish, it went into this backlog junk drawer that just kept growing. Stress levels were through the roof.
That sounds draining. TPF really offers an escape route there.
How?
Because it encourages deploying to production all the time, right through the sprint. You break free from that rigid cycle.
So you don't wait for sprint review day?
Nope. Incremental changes, thanks to trunk-based development, go out frequently. QA gets involved way earlier, testing smaller pieces. And feature toggles, they hide the unfinished work. So a feature can easily span multiple sprints naturally without blocking anything or creating that end-of-sprint panic. Workflows, rather than being crammed into buckets.
That sounds much calmer. Okay, another big shift you mentioned. No more rollbacks. That sounds bold.
Well, we mean rollback in the traditional sense.
Yes.
Redeploying an older version of the app and the database.
Right. Big red button.
Exactly. That should be a break glass in case of emergency thing only. It's super risky. You risk data loss. You're probably using an untested rollback plan. You might accidentally revert unrelated bug fixes that were in the same deployment.
And that safe window is tiny.
Super tiny, often less than an hour, maybe even less.
You had a story about that, right? The JavaScript bug.
Yeah, the loan origination system. One line of JavaScript changed to set timeout accidentally became set interval. Yeah. Traffic spiked 1,800%, crashed everything. And crucially, there was a database change in that same deployment.
The rollback was extra scary.
Terrifying. We had a choice. Risk the rollback, restore the database from backup, which meant losing hours of loan applications unthinkable, or fix it forward fast.
What did you do?
We fixed it forward, found the line, changed it back, redeployed in 45 minutes. Always move forward if you can.
And TPF enables that forward motion.
Yes. Think of the deployment pipeline like an assembly line always moving forward, the incremental changes, trunk-based, the early feedback toggles, the safe deployment, progressive rollouts. They all de-risk things massively.
So if something does go wrong with a feature,
you have a tested, reliable way to just turn off that feature using its toggle. You tell the user, yep, found it, fix coming tonight, feature is off for now, so you're unblocked. Way safer, way more controlled than a full rollback.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk DevX developer experience. How does TPF impact the day-to-day for engineers?
Well, it's not explicitly a DevX framework, but the improvements are huge.
How so?
Trunk-based development. Less merge hell. That alone is massive for morale. Bugs are easier to trace because changes are small.
Okay.
Frequent zero downtime deployments mean no more late nights or weekend work just to push code. That's huge.
Definitely.
And feature toggles mean developers get that early feedback. They know they're building something useful, something users actually want, rather than wasting effort.
Yeah, I remember building this custom reporting thing early in my career. Put my heart into making it super flexible. Users hated it. They just wanted simple, standard reports with basic filters. We scrapped like 80% of my code.
Yeah.
So painful, building the wrong thing.
TPF helps avoid that pain.
Okay, what about context switching? That mental drain when you have to drop everything for an urgent bug?
Oh, it's a killer for productivity. It's like retooling an entire assembly line just to make one different part right.
Yeah.
Developers have to flush everything out of their heads and load up this whole new context.
Yeah.
I managed a team on that loan system. We had like 2 to 5 urgent fire drills every single day. We tried round robin for support tickets, but feature velocity just plummeted. Developers kept saying, if I could just get 2 hours of focus.
So what did you do?
We ended up with an on-call rotation for urgent stuff. We even had a physical Thor's hammer artifact to signify who was handling the fires so everyone else knew not to interrupt them.
A visual cue.
It worked. But with TPF, because the changes are small and incremental, trunk-based, the difference, the delta between production code and what a dev is working on is much smaller.
Easier to switch context.
Much easier. Tackling an urgent bug isn't such a massive mental leap. And frankly, because deployments are safer, you have fewer critical production fires anyway. Non-critical bugs can often wait an hour or two for the dev to finish their current task.
Nice. Okay, one last area. Code reviews. Everyone's seen those monster pull requests, right?
Multi-thousand line epics.
Yeah. Imagine reviewing 3,000 lines of change across 60 files. Maybe you get 3.5 hours allocated. That's like 3.5 minutes per file or 4.2 seconds per line.
It's impossible to do well.
Reviewers are human. Focus drifts. What are the odds you'll catch every subtle race condition or logic flaw? Pretty well.
It's a huge bottleneck and quality risk. I wrote a couple of really complex community library steps for Octopus Deploy, nearly 2,000 lines of PowerShell each.
Okay.
The reviews were brutal. Reviewers were totally overwhelmed, needed massive guides just to understand them, and still problems slipped through. Those two steps have had over 25 revisions each. Most steps have maybe 5 or 10 total.
So the complexity killed the review effectiveness.
Completely. And AI isn't the answer here either. AI can check syntax, maybe style, but it lacks the context of what the code is supposed to do functionally.
So how does TPF help reviews?
Simple. Trunk-based development leads to small, frequent PRs. Instead of 3,000 lines, maybe it's 100 lines across 3 files.
Manageable.
Totally. That same 15 minutes of review time now gives you 5 minutes per file, maybe 9 seconds per line, much more focused scrutiny. Reviewers can actually understand the change and catch real problems far more effectively.
Okay, so we've seen the problems, the TPF solutions. Let's make it concrete. Tell us about Octopus Cloud. How do they put this into practice?
Right, good case study. Initially, Octopus Cloud tried canary deployments. They had release ring staff, insiders, early adopters, stable, laggards. The whole cycle took about 15 days.
Sounds reasonable on the surface.
It did, but they ran into limitations pretty quickly.
Like what?
Well, no guarantee that small user subset in the early rings actually hit all the new code paths. Deployments took a long time to roll through all the rings. Traffic routing was kind of indiscriminate. You couldn't target specific users easily.
And user experience could be inconsistent.
Yeah, imagine using it on your laptop and getting one version, then your phone gets another. Or features appearing and disappearing, users expect consistency.
So even with that 15-day careful rollout,
critical bugs still sometimes made it all the way to the stable ring. And because of the long cycle, some customers could end up waiting 50 days, 50, between getting updates.
Wow. Okay, so what did they change?
The engineering leaders saw this wasn't working as well as they hoped, so they shifted. They embraced TPS.
All three legs.
Yep. Trunk-based development with really short-lived branches, feature toggles that they could control right down to specific customer instances, and shorter, faster release rings. They started using Octopus to deploy Octopus more effectively, even dog-fooding the new UI internally using toggles for months before anyone else saw it.
And the results?
Numerous benefits. They can run like 4 early access programs concurrently now, testing different big features with different customer groups. They add functionality incrementally, get targeted feedback.
And if something goes wrong for one customer?
Crucially, they can just flip the feature toggle off for that specific customer instance. No impact on anyone else. It's completely transformed how they deliver value.
That's a powerful story.
It really shows the power of the whole system working together. Which brings us back to the core idea. as we wrap this up, you really have to see TPF, trunk-based development, progressive rollouts, feature toggles as this essential tripod.
A tripod, okay.
Yeah, all three legs are absolutely critical. They depend on each other. You need all three to really achieve that goal, getting all kinds of changes out to users safely, quickly, and sustainably.
What happens if one leg is wobbly or missing?
Well, without trunk-based development, you can't easily iterate on features behind toggles or get that fast feedback. Without progressive rollouts, you're massively increasing the risk of deployment failures, downtime, big rollback dramas. And without feature toggles, you lose that ability to get early feedback from real users in production, and you lose that super safe way to turn off a bad feature without rolling back the whole app, take away any one leg, and the whole thing becomes unstable.
What a fantastic deep dive. We've really unpacked some thorny issues in software delivery and seen how TPF offers a coherent, practical set of solutions. So here's something for you, the listener, to think about. Looking at your own team, your own processes right now, which single leg of that TPF tripod, trunk-based dev, progressive rollouts, or feature toggles could make the biggest positive difference if you embraced it today? And what ripple effects might that one change create? Definitely some food for thought there. Hopefully these insights spark some ideas about how you can transform your own approach to delivering software.